From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, April 30th. Coming up, we'll learn how recent cuts by the Trump administration could jeopardize services offered by local libraries. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Authorities say they believe a crash through a Sangamon County after-school building that killed three children and one teenager was not targeted. Haya Punjwani reports.
Deputy Chief Scott Tarter of the Chatham Police Department told reporters a car smashed into a building Monday afternoon.
A vehicle drove into the east side of the building. The vehicle struck multiple persons outside of the building before continuing through the building and exiting out on the west side of the structure.
Police say that 2 7-year-olds, an 8-year-old, and an 18-year-old were killed. 6 more children were taken to hospitals, and 1 remains in critical condition. The driver, who wasn't injured, was taken to a hospital for evaluation, and police said toxicology reports are pending. The cause of the crash is under investigation. News conference audio courtesy of WICS-TV. I'm Haya Punjwani.
The Sangamon County coroner identified those killed as 18-year-old Riley Britton of Springfield and 3 Chatham children, 8-year-old Ainsley Johnson and Catherine Corley and Alma Bunnerkemp, both 7 years old. The 44-year-old driver was not in custody as of yesterday. State police declined to offer further details, saying the crash remains under investigation. April is Arab American Heritage Month, and students at the University of Illinois are celebrating. IPM Student Newsroom's Leila Nizarva has more.
Cultural centers and Black student organizations gather to celebrate the unity of the African continent and promote North African visibility. Last Friday, dozens gathered at the Siebel Center of Design to share music, food, and dance. U of I freshman Nazreen Ouzidan is Algerian and says North Africans often feel left out of both Middle Eastern and African spaces.
When it comes to like Middle Eastern events, we're not as included since we're North African. And then when it comes to African events, we feel like all the ones out, honestly. So this event is so helpful when it comes to like bringing all of Africa together. And we're basically all just family in the same.
Organizers say they hope to repeat the event next year, but it is under question if the federal budget cuts continue. I'm Lenina Sarva, IPM News.
The University of Illinois' Soybean Innovation Lab has resumed its work developing soybean production for developing countries. Lab director Peter Goldsmith says that's thanks to a private donation. He says it helps replace federal funding that was canceled by the Trump administration.
No, I don't think federal funding will be forthcoming, and the Soybean Innovation Lab needs to find, as well as the other labs, we need to focus on finding other sources of research dollars.
The $1 million gift comes from an anonymous donor through Founders Pledge, a nonprofit that administers charitable giving by entrepreneurs. Goldsmith says he's looking for additional money to keep the lab going in future years. The Fighting Illini baseball team defeated the Bradley Braves in Peoria last night, 5-2. IPM's Colin Hyslop has more.
After starting the season with an electrifying offense, the Illini pitching staff has caught up and improved in late April. Illinois pitchers have held opponents to 4 runs or less in 6 of their last 8 games. Last night, Illinois starting pitcher Ryan Daly gave up only 1 hit in 4 innings of work. The team is now 26-16 overall and has won a season-high 3 straight road games. They will hit the road next to play Rutgers in a 3-game series starting on Friday at 5 p.m. I'm Colin Hyslop, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn how recent cuts by the Trump administration could jeopardize services offered by local libraries. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 68 degrees, and a southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely and a low of 61 degrees, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 75 degrees, Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 55 degrees. West wind 10 miles per hour. And for Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 70 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, among the many areas in which the Trump administration is looking to make generational changes in American policy has to do with food safety and health. We'll talk with former FDA officials about what's happening in Washington and what that could mean for us. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Libraries are more than a place to check out books. Many offer classes, movies, and high-speed internet access, and they are especially important for people living in rural parts of Illinois. But recent cuts by the Trump administration could jeopardize those services. Emily Hayes has more.
It's quite possible that you've never heard of the Institute of Museum and Library Services. The IMLS gives libraries grants to help them keep up with changing times.
This is a very small agency that has impacts on almost every community in the whole of the United States and territories.
That's Kate McDowell. She's an IMLS grant recipient and associate professor at the School of Information Sciences at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
What the IMLS funds is not just the subsistence of libraries, although that's there too. It's their future.
But the future of that funding is in doubt. In March, President Trump issued an executive order that put almost all of the IMLS staff on administrative leave. He claimed the move would reduce unnecessary bureaucracy. On average, federal funding made up less than 2% of rural library operating budgets in Illinois in 2019, and less than 0.5% of urban library budgets. The grants might be small, but McDowell says they will impact the poorest patrons first.
Those extra hours to get that little bit of expertise and how to make sure you can help them fill out the forms right, or just to have somebody cover the desk while you go to a computer with a person, that's what gets axed in moments like this.
So how is this playing out in rural Illinois? The village of Greenup is about 44 miles southwest of Terre Haute, Indiana, along I-70. About 1,300 people live here.
You're welcome to take a look around, or yeah. I can walk you through or whatever.
That's Vicki Pierce. She calls herself just the circulation clerk at the Greenup Township Public Library. The library is basically one main room.
We've divided our children's, our adults, but our movies are here.
She says few teenagers prefer the library to social media, but they keep a streamlined, up-to-date selection for any who do come through. Pierce has worked here for 8 years after retiring as an English teacher. She's one of three part-time employees.
And then we have classics here that are typically the ones that everybody groans about having to read, you know, like Great Expectations and such like that.
There are a few computers in the adult section and a partially completed puzzle on a table in the back meeting room.
We're a small town library, so really small budget. And honestly, I'm not sure how we manage to stay open.
According to the library's new director, Marlena Harper, the library isn't expecting any federal money this year. The grants vary year to year. In 2019, for example, the federal government covered around 5% of their operating costs. That's a larger share than most libraries in the state. The federal support for Greenup jumped to about 19% in 2022 during the pandemic. The idea of taking more money away from other libraries makes Pierce feel sick, and she's not alone. Deb Culp is still simmering after hearing about the Trump administration pulling back money that was already granted to Decatur schools.
I don't know how to speak other than swearing when it comes to that certain idiot that's in the White House.
She thinks it should be illegal to claw back money that's already being spent.
They had things earmarked for that money, you know, and you just don't do that to people.
But the American Library Association says it's already starting to happen across the country to libraries and museums receiving IMLS grants. Shauna Ridgely is less certain about what the Trump administration should or should not do. She's looking through boxes of books the library is selling as part of its biannual sale.
It does scare me that we get rid of third spaces, free third spaces, that we get rid of spaces where people who can't afford things, you know, now you're cutting them out of the equation.
Both Ridgely and her mother were librarians at one time. Her mother raised her alone and instilled a love of reading.
As a parent, you can go in and you can say yes. So if the kid wants to have 10 books to take home, you can say yes, and it's not going to cost you anything.
Still, she sees the value in cutting government spending.
I'm a very budget-oriented person, so the fact that we are trillions of dollars in debt makes me ill.
After a busy Friday afternoon, the phone rings.
Greenup Library, this is Vicki. Yes. Do you want me to check it out and bring it by?
Pierce tells me she wants people to use the library, so she's happy to go out of her way, like bringing a book to a patron if that's what it takes.
You have a section of your population that is trying to keep current, trying to stay educated, but they're not being supported. And when you take that away, you're taking away the freedom.
Despite the cuts from Washington, the services provided by the Greenup Library are staying the same for now. 21 state attorneys general are suing the Trump administration to stop it from dismantling the Institute of Museum and Library Services. Congress has funded the department through September. I'm Emily Hayes with Illinois Public Media.
That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Haya Panjwani, Leila Nazarva, Jim Meadows, Colin Heislope, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.